a bird. It's a plane. No, it's Aaron Judge's home run ball, and I just dropped it. It's Locked On Blue Jays, and it starts right now.
You are Locked On Blue Jays, your daily Toronto Blue Jays podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up? I'm Ben Schulman. That's Matt Bonaparte. Welcome to the Locked On Blue Jays. Thanks so much for making us first listen on this wonderful Thursday. Blue Jays get an off day, which is cool. So we're going to recap this series, and we're going to start doing some end of season awards. But first, you can catch all our pods on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, wherever you get your pods, Podbean, and other partners. You can tweet at us at Locked On Jays. You can check our faces out, made for radio, on YouTube. And you can email us, lockedonbluejaysreal@gmail.com. The Blue Jays season is coming to a close. They don't have that many games left. Six. So if you want to talk to us before the playoffs, you're going to have to email us, lockedonbluejaysreal@gmail.com. I take that way too long stretched out intro to bring in Matt. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. You're in rare form today, so I'm kind of here for it.
Got a lot of energy, and it's kind of late, but we're rolling. Blue Jays lose the series to the Yankees after winning the opener. Honestly, I kind of thought I had the code cracked. I thought they win game two or they win the hangover game. Did not win either. The counters would say, yeah, well, they didn't win the Jose Berríos and Mitch White game. Point taken. So with that series in the books, and at least, you know, Blue Jays actually did gain two on their magic number because the Orioles lost twice to the Red Sox, so that's fun. And three on their magic number, counting their win on opening night of the series. So that's only down to one. But, Bones, your storyline.
Storyline for the Jays here is you got, all right? Everything that it could have happened bad in this series happened. Yanks clinched on your home floor, on your home field, and Judge hit his 61st. Roger Maris Jr. has been eating ballpark hot dogs for 10 days in a row, and the streak ends at the Rogers Center.
Can I say,
not even on Looney Dog night.
Does he not travel around to watch the record get passed?
So, like, I was thinking that too. So, like, I
isn't that the next game more important than it being tied?
I don't know, but he was all like, you know, Patty Judge was there. I didn't see Wayne Judge, but Roger,
someone
and
that
Patty,
looked like Steve Kerr was beside Patty Judge.
Roger Maris Jr.
No, other side. Roger Maris Jr. had the glasses, right?
Yeah.
Other side of her, who was like definitely with her earlier too. So I don't know who that
maybe
guy
it's like
is.
Judge's uncle,
cousin, or yeah,
Ferris Judge or something.
I looks like Steve Kerr. It might be Steve Kerr.
Anyway, you got Jays. Everything the bad happened. Could have, or bad. Everything bad could have happened. It was pain. You lose the series after Vladdy goes like, this is my house. And then Michael K was all like,
burr, 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 burr. Can I be honest? You send that to me. I don't think that's a good chirp at all. Like, I don't understand. It was just like, I don't understand Michael K's chirp there, but I don't understand a lot.
Well, because Vladdy on
I know he was like, thanks for letting us celebrate in your house. Like people say, this
no, no,
is
no,
my
because
house.
Vladdy
every week, a guy says that.
Yeah,
like,
no, I didn't think it was that big of a deal either. Yeah. But they did. They were like, wow, I can't believe he said that.
Wait, I thought the New York Yankees played at the Rogers Center. What? All right, we move on. My storyline, which is, you know, on track with how I'm feeling today. Don't listen to Stephen A for baseball advice. That's my storyline. Stephen A came on ESPN today and was like, the Blue Jays walked Aaron Judge four times. Come on. Well, Stephen A, this is why you walk him again, because when you don't walk him, and to be fair, on that four walk night and on this night, like, Aaron Judge works stuff at bats. He didn't walk in four pitches on any of those walks. And the reason he hit the home run here is because he didn't walk on four pitches either. He went aggressively swinging. Meza fed him some strikes, and Meza seemed pretty determined not to walk him, honestly. Fed him a couple pitches over the heart of the plate that I probably would have went with, but I don't throw 95. So I really have a lack of perspective on that. But yeah, don't give in. Just walk him. I mean, I'm almost sure that the Yankees don't score the three runs they end up scoring if it's first and second and no outs. I'd much rather first and second and no outs than pitching to Aaron Judge. But it's okay because they don't see him for the rest of the regular season, and unless they slide into the sixth spot, then it's ALCS or never seeing him again this season. And then next year he's on the Mets, and it's like not a big deal. So yeah, it's okay. No reaction from you to Aaron Judge being on the Mets. Impressed.
Sorry, I was reading something.
It's okay. I insinuated we won't have
to. He won't be on the Mets. He won't. I swear he won't.
The Giants. Who's your MVP?
My MVP, I'm going bullpen minus tonight. Because they were good until tonight. Kind of a cop-out answer, obviously, but like they also stunk.
Yeah, no
like,
one else was
not good. Like I could say Bo, but like he also like did that base running thing that I wasn't huge on. But they were really good besides tonight, the bullpen. And outside of that Mesa homer and Jimmy giving up a run, they were still good tonight. So except for Simber. But yeah.
I mean, game was kind of done by then, but it is pretty tough.
How about Yusei coming in to close it out?
Did he do the job or did he do the job?
He's that dude.
He did the job. My MVP is Gausman. Really, really the only other serviceable option. Like you said, I mean, Bo had a good offensive series, but he did not have a good defensive series and base running. Gausman pitched a good first game, won 6 1/3, 2 earned, helped them win that one. So that's my guy. Not too much else on that one, but, you know, another good performance for Gauz. And at least, you know, it's a bummer to kind of have Berríos White line up against the Yankees. Like, obviously, that wouldn't be how it is in the playoffs if the Blue Jays see the Yankees. A lot of people saying tonight on Twitter that White won't be on the playoff roster at all. So it's kind of cool next series in a way. And we're going to preview tomorrow. But you get Gausman, Manoa, and Stripling. 1, 2, 3 lined up there as like the probably the final, you know, run for any of those guys until the playoffs, unless they have to use Manoa last night of the year, which would suck. But we already discussed that on a previous episode, so don't even worry about that. How about you worry about staying confident? How about you worry about being upright and engaged and involved? Because the summer's winding down right now and the nights are getting longer, but the breeze isn't the only thing that's getting stiff. That's right. This episode is sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, we all know that confidence can take you far in life. That's especially true in the bedroom, especially when it's time to step up to the plate. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. You can take them anytime, day or night, so you can plan ahead or be ready when an opportunity arises. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. The best part? It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and prepared and shipped direct to your door in a discreet package. Look, when you're showing up to the plate, you want to be there with your Aaron Judge. You don't want to be there with your former Locked On Syracuse host, Brad Klein. You want your Aaron Judge there. And with Blue Chew, men everywhere are excited to see the postman because your package has arrived. When your package has arrived, your package has arrived. They always say first impressions are important. What about lasting impressions? It's time to get off the couch and get back to work. If your tool needs an upgrade, head to BlueChew.com. There's nothing sexier than confidence, and Blue Chew can help you give you the confidence you need where it counts. So if you can benefit from the extra confidence when it's time to perform, chew it and do it. And we've got a special offer for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use our promo code LOCKEDON at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's BlueChew.com, promo code LOCKEDON to receive your first month free. Visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information. We appreciate and thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
And we're back.
Awards.
It's award time. Pretty exciting stuff, man. We're doing awards. end of season awards. You know, the media, they give out MVP, Rookie of the Year, Cy Young. We're not that uniform here on Locked On Blue Jays. We give out stuff like best hair, best future he was a Blue Jay, take I was most wrong about, and most angry moment. That's what you're going to get today. Tomorrow, on tomorrow's pod, you're going to get MVP, MIP, most improved, My Guy Award, and the favorite moment of the season. So stay tuned for that tomorrow. But let's get into today's first one. Let's go best hair. I would like to put on the record from before we started recording that Ben Shulman said to me, Matt Bonaparte, before we started recording today, that when he thought, let's do best hair, at no point did he think Bo Bichette. And I would like the jury to know his credibility's got to go down for that. I mean, that's crazy.
Absolutely, it does. But I locked in, and I do believe my answer is still better.
What is your answer? Because mine's Bo Bichette.
Your answer is Bo Bichette. Let's be.
And I'm right. And
it's a valid answer. Can you get a picture of Bo for the people, even though people know?
Yeah, I'll do that. Hold on.
Bo Bichette's a valid answer.
I would just like to say that Bo Bichette not only has the best hair on the team, but likely is a contender for best hair in the MLB.
And he wins the Blue Jays Hot Guy Award, for sure.
Yeah, he's a Blue Jays Hot Guy. Every good team's got to have a hot guy.
Yeah,
and he's the Jays Hot Guy.
He's the guy. No, his hair is great. Bo, if they asked Bo to be in the sequel of The Dirt, the Motley Crue movie, he slots in without anyone noticing. That hair is incredible. It works. It works with the headband. It works without the headband. It looks good when the hat is taken off. Even, you know, there's no hat head. It looks good when the helmet's taken off. It looks good flowing in the wind. It's good hair. Don't get me wrong. I think there are two serious contenders. Do you think you know who the two serious contenders with Bo are?
Let me think. You're not going Gausman. There's no way.
No. Gausman, in my mind, is dollar store Bo in terms of hair. So I can't.
Are you going Vladdy?
I'm not going Vladdy. I think he has nice hair, but it's like
Vladdy's
normal
got good hair.
It's not going, like, win a hair comp.
I mean, who else could you pop? Oh, you're going Lourdes.
So Lourdes is one of the contenders.
Yeah, you're going Lourdes.
And another contender, we personally gave a nickname based on his hair.
Tapia.
So now that you've realized these, how legit do you feel about these contenders?
Tapia's got good hair. I think Lourdes' hair is stupid, but Tapia's got interesting hair.
I'm going with Lourdes. There is no man that I look at on a daily basis knowing what his hairstyle is and it just still gets me every time.
I think it looks ridiculous.
It's honestly that picture of it for our audio listeners. We have a picture up is like flatter than it usually is. I feel like it's usually even taller and
maybe.
I love it. Also, it's a brand. He's got the pineapple thing going off of it. And I
pineapple
like
thing's cool. Pineapple thing's cool.
I like that.
You know what? I don't think it's stupid. I take that back. I think it's weirdly impractical.
It's incredibly impractical, which is
like
kind
it's
of
it's gotta be weird. Like, he's going to do it a lot every day. Like, he's going to put a lot of effort into it every day. All right. Well, Tapia's hair is not bad. Like, look at those noodles coming out of his
head. Oh, so good. So good. Tapia is like, he's such a proud bronze medalist in this. Like, he should not feel bad. I think he's the bronze medalist. So I think if this were the nicest hair award, maybe, like most, like, you know, like hair you would wear, Bo's is better. But my favorite
I can't rock any of these guys' hair. I won't lie.
My favorite hair. I will say, not with that kind of dying level that we got on Lourdes, but I'm very much aware that my hair is a ticking time bomb. So I've messed around with some bad stuff. Hopefully it's not out there. And I did once almost basically like shave off the sides, but leave the top just like flopping around up there.
I'm not looking for pictures of you with
it. Look, I'll send you a picture. It's not going to be on the podcast, but I'll send you a picture.
If you look up Ben Shulman, there's some pictures of you on here. And none of them are embarrassing or anything, but the picture you had for when you were the Chatham Anglers broadcaster, it looks like you're on your way to prom.
Yes, I was. I think I might have been. But that's okay. You know, prom's cool. All right, you want to get to our next award? So you gave the best hair award to Bo. I gave it to Lourdes. Both of them, congrats.
Yeah. Okay. Next award, we will go with best future he was a Blue Jay. We have talked about this kind of throughout the season, and I've got a couple answers. Now, it has to be from this year, right, obviously?
Yes, it's this year. It's okay. This year. So there was one or two guys I forgot about and then remembered.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Sure, you ready?
Yeah.
My best future, he was a Blue Jay, is Sergio Romo.
Yeah, it's a good one. It's a good
Sergio
one.
Sergio Romo, because he's so barely a Blue Jay. Like, so barely. The only thing it hurts is, like, career stuff is usually kind of easy to guess. But he makes six appearances for the Blue Jays that spanned 3 2/3 innings. 3 2/3 innings, likely to end what was a 15-year career with multiple World Series titles. Like, a reliever at one point of incredibly high stature who had the most random, insignificant stint with the Blue Jays of all time. I legitimately forgot he was a Blue Jay until I just went to double check, like, before the episode, to be like, I didn't miss someone blatant, right? And I did, and it was him. And for that reason, notable, but not notable at all for this team, I think he's the best future he was Blue Jay.
I think that's a really, really strong choice. My answer was between two guys, and I'm going to go Jackie Bradley Jr. I think that's a really good answer. Like, 5-10 years from now, like, Jackie Bradley Jr. is going to be a really good answer for that. Whit Merrifield is the other one.
Sneaky good one, I think.
Good one. Witt's a good one because I don't think he's going to be back. But
I think
if
he has another,
they go deep in the...
Does he have another what? Year? Is he in a...
No shot Witt's coming back. That would be...
signed through 23.
Oh, signed through another, that's year. Brutal. He's, oh my gosh. He has a mutual option in 24 as well.
Well, that means both sides have to pick it up.
More. Yeah.
So, that one.
But anyway... Witt's still a decent good. One, but I'm going Jackie still. Bradley.
Witt is still good, despite the second year.
Yes.
I'm trying to think if I see anyone else that really even seriously contends. I mean, if Raimel Tapia, he's also under contract next year. If he doesn't end up with the team and then has a career elsewhere, like, maybe that's one.
You know who could be one?
Zach Collins.
Zach Collins, because he's
on Pittsburgh
already.
I deemed him a little bit not good enough. Like, I think 10 years from now, I'd be like, I don't know if I can write those since, because I don't know if Bones remains.
Yeah. Maybe if he has, like, a long career, as like a defensive catcher or something.
If he's a backup.
Or he makes something of his career. But, like, if he falls off the face of the earth next season, then probably not. But he could be one. He's, like, a sneaky one.
I hope Max Castillo is he was a Blue Jay one day.
So do I. That's a good shout.
Does Yusei Kikuchi become he was a Blue Jay? Is he on the roster next year?
No.
That will be something. Well, if he's not on the roster next year, and then you look back.
He's going to be on the roster next year. Who wants him? What are they going to do?
I don't know. All right. It's time for the audio listeners to help us pay the bills a little bit.
Ads
now.
Okay. All right.
Two more awards to go.
Yes. Next one is take I was most wrong about.
You had a better memory than me when we were talking about this pre-show.
Yeah. So the one that comes to my mind of take I was most wrong about was I thought Jeremy Beasley was going to make a hefty, he was going to be good for the bullpen. I thought he was going to be a really big part. I thought he had a shot to be really important for the bullpen. I was big on JB's, and then he came up and was not good. So that was what I was most wrong about. Funny enough, I thought of your wrong takes more than mine. But I think that's just because you are more forgiving than I am.
You are Bones through Dramas. Most of these we haven't told each other, but you know my answer for this one because I was actually having some trouble with it. So tell me all my bad takes that aren't the one I'm about to bring up. Let's hear some of them.
Well, I don't know. Wait, are you going to do the one I think you're going to do?
I think I told you the former major leaguer's son won. I messed up one of those. Not on the Blue Jays. The guy on the Tigers.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. So the other one that I thought of is that you held on to Yusei Kikuchi being good for so long. I remember one of our first ever episodes, like maybe three Kikuchi starts in, I was like, this guy's going to be terrible. And you were like, no, he had a really good half last year. He was an all-star. This guy is going to be huge for the Jays. And I had to eat it and be like, all right, I'm the idiot, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm sitting here like, yeah, yeah, Bonestradamus strikes again. I was right about that one.
Don't know if you saw other you take... say tonight.
I don't know how many other ones I remember about you being wrong about.
I did say after the Blue Jays won 6-7 on the road at the Yankees and at the Red Sox, they were coming home, and I said, and I made us do a whole segment predicated on, is this when the Blue Jays win streak is about to commence? And then they got swept by the Angels. that's one I just remembered now. That's a tough one for me, I got to say.
Yeah, that's a brutal one. That's not a strong take from you. But yeah, I don't know. I think we've both had pretty strong takes throughout, but
well, here's my worst take of the year, I'll say. No,
let's go for it.
It's Blue Jays were about to go to Detroit. Bones was on site, and they were the worst offensive team in baseball. They ended that way, but they were even further back in the pack than they ended up being as the worst offensive team in baseball. And Mike Cameron, the former Mariners great, his son Daz was hitting really well. So I said, you know what, Daz Cameron, that guy's going to be scary this series. That's my scary. Not like an hour and a half after our episode went live, he got ruled out for the entirety of the series. Did not step on the field once. So
I remember I was there and I was walking the concourse and I was like, I haven't seen Daz Cameron. I looked up, guy had COVID.
Yeah, so like, you know, feel bad for him. He was cool. He was fine. But my take was absolutely squashed, which is, you know, not the most important thing, but for this show it might be.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of other ones, but
well, do you have yours?
Maybe you guys,
what's your worst take of the year?
Well, mine's Jeremy Beasley.
Right. Yours is Jeremy Beasley. I mean, so like, I don't know how you really hated Biggio.
Yeah, that's a bad one. Good take from you. That was a bad one for me.
He didn't end up. He ended up having a worse year than I expected. I mean, he's not going to finish with a 700.
Yeah, actually, I take it back. I was kind of.
However, he has like completely made second base a revolving door. So has Witt, obviously. But like, he would, you know, he had lost the job and gone to the minors.
He had an awful year, though. He had the worst year of his career this year.
Yes, for sure, for sure.
So I actually was right. Take that back.
I mean, I think we're too polarized on that one.
I don't know. He's pretty bad, dude.
You called him like not a major leaguer.
Look at his numbers. He's hitting 203 with a 6.76 OPS.
That guy walks. I'm gonna point at Peter Brand right now.
He's got a 318 on base percentage. He's not Tony Gwynn. You're doing what?
I'm pointing at you like you're Peter Brand, and we're in a Moneyball meeting. Now tell me he gets on base.
He doesn't. He's walked 37 times this year. Same amount he walked last year.
With our emotions,
he played more games this year.
With our emotions heating up, I think it's time for our angriest moment of the year.
Okay, angriest moment of the year came about 2 seconds ago, where you told me I was wrong about Kevin Biggio,
and you agreed you should be angry at yourself.
No, I'm right.
We had the same angriest moment of the year, and thankfully for the people, the baseball gods stepped in on that one. Definitely the White Sox, like 11th inning loss on the South Side, inside baseball. Like, Ben's coming home from a 3.5 hour broadcast, stays up for another like 2 hours to watch this game. Which, like, I know all you guys were doing it too, coming home from work and doing that. But I was like, I can't believe what I'm seeing. They blow 4 different leads or whatever, and it's like a lot of them were one run leads, but. They doubled on the first pitch of extras, doubled in a run, and then ended up losing. Both Bones and I hopped on our recording platform Restream and just had nothing. Like, just
Ben
anger.
Was Ben was talking so about the NBA mad draft. That he was like, we got to stop talking about this game. He was like, where's Paolo Banchero going in the NBA draft? Like, we got to talk about it. And I started talking about it. And then something happened that has never happened. I don't want to jinx us. It didn't happen before that and hasn't happened since, knock on wood. The app that we use just crashed. It has never happened since.
Hey, yeah, no slight to them. The product has worked incredibly well for us. Not a sponsor, but.
And at that time, it was just like, nope, you can't have an episode. So it was a baseball god struck us that day.
But I will bring up some contenders before we say goodbye to this episode. The first time we ever got angry, I just want to bring this up too because it's an Aaron Judge moment. When Judge hit that walk-off homer, and it was the game where, I mean, now it's actually kind of worked for Romano, but this was early in the year, and he just threw like a million sliders, like would not throw his fastball, and threw a bunch to walk Jose Trevino, who we now know, again, is not a good hitter. Is a better hitter than he was in that moment. In that moment, he was hitting like 150, and he walked him, and then he had to face Judge, and Judge walked him off. So that's the original. You brought up pre-episode the Seattle, when they got swept in Seattle after losing a series at Oakland. That, like, brought the Mariners into the race as we know it. And they've kind of been in there ever since. And then when the Angels swept them at home, which we've already talked about. Any of those stick out to you as your second angriest moment?
The Mariners one was bad. The Mariners was terrible. Also, like, they had a game in that series where the ball went through Vladdy's glove, and, like, that's why they lost.
And that,
like,
cost so the game. Ridiculous. That was crazy.
Yeah, it was so ridiculous.
That was crazy.
It was a stupid series.
Yeah, that's probably the dumb. Now that you bring it up, like, I actually didn't think that was the most mad, but now the emotions are coming back. So I think that's it. But the good news is we have fun awards coming up tomorrow. We will give you our MIP, our MVP, our favorite moment of the season, and everyone's most important award in baseball, the My Guy Award. That's coming up. But for now, appreciate you making us your first listen. Make your second listen to Locked On MLB Podcast. MLB Paul Francis Sullivan juggles. He does card tricks. And he's a sword swallower. He'll also talk about the biggest storylines with every team around the league. Follow the number one daily league-wide podcast, Locked On MLB, on the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcast. From Matt Bonaparte, I'm Ben Schulman. Catch you on the flip side.